I want to invite you to hear these words from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 3 and 6. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The word of God for God's people this day. Thanks be to God. Once upon a time, there lived a very humble man who accepted everything that happened in his life as an act of God. Something good happened or something bad, God did it. Unfortunately, he was about the unluckiest man alive, but never once did he complain. He was married, but his wife ran away with his best friend. His daughter fell in with the wrong crowd, followed with one bad choice after another, and his son was involved in a serious accident. He lost most of his retirement in the stock market. A runaway car crashed into the corner of his house, causing thousands of dollars worth of damage. Yet at each stroke of misfortune, he knelt and gave thanks to God. One day, he was out working in his garden. A thunderstorm was beginning to blow in when, without warning, a bolt of lightning struck a nearby tree that fell toward him, and he jumped out of the way of the falling tree, but caught his shirt on a bush, ripping the shirt right off his back. And that's when he fell on top of a nest of bees that began to repeatedly sting him unmercifully. And after the bees had finished stinging his naked back, he rose slowly to his knees, clasped his hands, raised his eyes toward heaven, and then, for the first time in his life, asserted himself. He said, "Lord, this is getting plumb ridiculous." Well, it was getting ridiculous. But still, you have to admire the man's steadfast faith. You and I would have raised question with God long before this. Yet there is an element of biblical faith in this man's attitude. Not that everything that happens is an act of God. That's not true. Some things just happen. We live in a universe of cause and effect. That's the way God created it. But don't blame God. God doesn't push people down the stairs. But faith in God gives God praise even in the midst of hard times, because we know that God is with us, and we know that God is working for our good all day long. Faith is an attitude about life. Have you ever heard of someone named Job in the Old Testament? Job questioned the reasons for his suffering, just as any of us would, but still he was able to praise God. Faith is a steadfast attitude about life. Remaining aware that God is with us gives us strength to endure the situation, no matter how trying. John Killinger describes a busy airport late one afternoon. People were rushing to meet schedules and to make flight connections. Tempers were a little on edge. And suddenly in the midst of the hustle and bustle, a loud voice yells, "Good work, God!" Nearly everyone turns to see an elderly woman in a wheelchair. And her gaze was directed out a large glass window at a magnificent sunset lighting up the sky. Most people paused their rushing and smiles break out on their faces. Some of the airline passengers began to walk with a renewed lift in their step. The atmosphere of the entire place was transformed by the woman's proclamation, "Good work, God." I think that's faith. Faith in the living God, that all of life is in God's hands and that God will never forsake God's children. Will Willimon tells about a woman who attended a church he once served. She said she had begun attending that church a number of years before because it was the only church in the area where a black person could feel welcomed. This pleased Willimon. This woman had a difficult life and had experienced firsthand oppression and tragedy and prejudice and hate. Willimon was stunned by the woman's story. The previous year, her beloved husband died a difficult and painful death. Her only son was in jail, and now she had taken in her two grandchildren to care for and raise them, even though she wasn't getting any younger. And as Willimon visited her, he felt this overwhelming sense of uselessness. What would become of her now? How could she hope to overcome her difficulty? Yet she, expressing faith born out of years of struggle and pain, said to him, "I know God will make a way for us. I find that when I've reached out, God is there when I needed him. He doesn't always come on my time, but he always comes. I'll make it with God's help. Yes, I will." Without thinking, the young pastor Willimon asked, "How? You've got these two children. You've got huge financial problems. Your health isn't great. How? After all you've been through?" This was his educated, sophisticated way of saying, "You've got to face the facts, ma'am. Be realistic." Is absolute faith in the living God realistic? That's a question each of us will face at some time in our lives. Do you sincerely believe that whatever comes your way, you and God can handle it? I'm not sure that there is a more important question in life. Reverend Dr. Ed Marquette tells about three pictures that were published sometime back in a newspaper. Each of the pictures was of a man named Bill Sheridan. The first picture was Bill and his wife and their seven-month-old twin standing on a third-floor balcony. Flames of shooting fire and billowing smoke could be seen behind this family, and the caption beneath that first picture read, "Throw the child." The flames were crackling behind them. The parents were almost paralyzed with fear, and someone was shouting to them from below, "Throw the child, throw the children." The next picture showed Bill Sheridan throwing his seven-month-old child into the air, and the caption said, "We will catch them." The third picture was of a family, mother, father, two infant children huddled together in safety, with the burning apartment building in the background. They were crying with joy and fear, with the fire behind them and a 40-foot drop in front of them. They literally had made a leap of faith. That's faith. Faith in the living God is an attitude about life. It's trusting God as those parents in the burning building trusted the firefighters to whom they threw their precious children. Faith is complete trust that the God of creation loves us and is for us, regardless of our circumstances. I hope you'll take a few moments to read Hebrews 11 today or in the coming days, because that's what the writer of Hebrews meant in this wonderful 11th chapter when he wrote, "By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken and didn't experience death. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed and had descendants as many as the star of the heavens and as the innumerable grains of sand. By faith, Abraham obeyed God to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments." The Hebrews writer gives us examples of people who, in spite of overwhelming circumstances, did what God called them to do. And he says, this is what faith is. By faith, they did these things. Faith is utter trust in the living God, regardless of our circumstances. On February the 10th, 1973, three men were executed by a firing squad in Uganda. Ugandan Anglican Bishop Festo Kivenjir was there that day, and he says that February 10th was a sad day for Kabul. People were commanded to come to the stadium to witness the execution. Death penetrated the silent crowd of about 3,000 there to watch. The bishop and two of his fellow ministers had permission from the authorities to speak with the men before they died. They brought the men in a truck and unloaded them. They were handcuffed, their feet were chained. The firing squad stood at attention, and as they walked into the center of the stadium, the good bishop, often referred to as the Billy Graham of Africa, was wondering what he could say. How do you give the gospel to doomed men who are probably furious with rage? The bishop and his fellow pastors approached the condemned men from behind. And as the condemned men turned to look at them, something quite incredible took place. The men's faces lit up with an unmistakable radiance. And before the pastors could say anything, one of them burst out, "Bishop, thank you for coming. I want to tell you, the day I was arrested, I was in my prison cell, and I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. He came in and forgave me all my sins. Heaven is now open, and there is nothing between me and my God. Please tell my wife and children that I'm going to be with Jesus and ask them to accept Jesus into their lives as I did." The two other men told similar stories, their handcuffs rattling in their excitement. Bishop Kivenjir felt that what he needed to do now was to talk to the soldiers, not to the condemned men. So he translated what the men had said into a language the soldiers understood. The military men were standing there with guns cocked and confusion on their faces. They were so dumbfounded that they forgot to put the hoods over the men's faces. The three faced the firing squad standing close together. They looked toward the people and began to wave, handcuffs and all. The people waved back, and then the three condemned men were with Jesus. And here is how Bishop Kivenger remembers this experience. He says, "We stood in front of them, our own hearts throbbing with joy and soaked with tears. It was a day never to be forgotten. Though dead, the men spoke loudly to all of Uganda so that there was a surge of new life in Jesus Christ, which challenges death and defeats it." And then the bishop continued, "The next Sunday, I was preaching to a huge crowd in the hometown of one of the executed men. Again, the feel of death was over the congregation. But when I gave them the testimony of their man and how he died, there erupted a great song of praise to Jesus, and many turned to the Lord there that day." This is how our faith came to us. It wasn't handed down from heaven on a golden platter. It grew up out of the selfless sacrifices of people who trusted the living God with everything they had, including their own lives. That's what the writer of Hebrews 11 meant by reminding us with this roll call of heroes and heroines. All women and men who trusted God completely and faithfully followed God with abandoned obedience. But there's one more thing that needs to be said. This kind of faith is a gift from God. You cannot think yourself to such faith. I wish we could simply weigh the evidence rationally, objectively, and with certainty and say, yes, God is real, and yes, God loves me. But it won't happen. Faith isn't found like that. It can't be bought. You can't give the church $1 million and say, now I have faith. You can't even buy faith with your good works, though I hope you will keep doing good works. There is one way you can have faith in Jesus Christ, and that is to open your heart and receive it. Pray that the Spirit of Christ will enter your heart and then begin living each day, trusting God until the day comes when faith permeates every part of your life. Faith is a gift that must be received. And once we receive faith and come to depend upon it, we discover that faith in the living God grows and grows until it can overcome any obstacle. Amen.